Hi, I'd like to start giving a brief introduction of myself. I work with KDE Education and also KDE Games. And I mostly come from a game development background and communications as well. And I'm working with K Mahjong, K Minds, and K24, KDE4. And also a big disclaimer that is very important for this talk. I'm not associated at all with the Brazilian government. And I'm not a member of the team that implemented the ProInfo program that I'm going to talk about now. Actually, a guy from the MEC, which is Ministry of Education in Brazil, was supposed to be here to co-host this talk with me, but I cannot reach him for the past 4 days. So he's not here. Probably he did not have time to do all the bureaucracy needed in order to come in. But that's okay. I already have all the material that we are going to present, so we'll just go ahead and present it for you. And also, I will try to no longer read the slides because it's boring, so but it was important to start, so. Well, I'll start with a brief story about how I came across this project, the ProInfo project. We are at this year in Porto Alegre, Brazil, in February at a FISLI, which is a software livre festival. It's a big conference in Brazil, south part of Brazil. There were like 7,000 people there, including speakers and attendees. And I can show you that there's a big crowd, and in this particular presentation, they are already in shock because Elio was introducing KDE4. And it was when we introduced KDE4 in Brazil, and we also did the first KDE Brazil meeting, the first time we developers in the country meet there to discuss things. And there was some familiar faces there as well, doing some booth action for Qt and Throwtech. And among the booths, the stands that there was the MEC booth that was actually the Ministry of Education in Brazil. And they were showcasing this Linux educacional distribution. And I was very interested in having a look at it. And when I arrived there, the team that was deploying the solution was very happy to meet us, the KDE guys, because they were using KDE as the basis for the desktop. Knut from Trotec was there as well, and we did some introduction. And afterwards, in the same after room, and they had a talk scheduled to present for the first time this program to the Brazilian audience there. And the program is called ProInfo. And I have some slides there here that I have extracted from their presentation. This is not translated, but just to show that they presented the several dimensions of the project, including technological, structural, social, and pedagogic ramifications of it. And I'm going to focus on the technological and structural stuff that is the one that they use KDE and computers for. So this is all extracted from the presentation given by José Guilherme, who is the director of the team that is leading this effort in Brasilia. Actually, they started this about 2 years ago. They have a version 1.0 of Linux Educacional with an Intel partnership, which is not very deployed there. And this is version 2.0, and there's the team that developed it, and some of the goals that they presented there. I blogged about this, and it generated a lot of interest from people, especially because of the sheer numbers of computers and desktops deployed. And in this table, you can see that what they are doing is that they are getting the labs with older equipment that is running sometimes Windows and sometimes older versions of Linux, and recycling it and delivering new equipment. And until the end of this year, they were projecting 29,000 labs, and by the end of next year, 53,000 labs. And also, you can see another part of the project, which is this integrated projector stuff. You can see the machine there on the corner. It's actually a computer with a projector and hard drive station that projects to the classroom. And it can be used as a DVD player and also to access educational content on the machine. And also they have the one computer per student stuff, which is planned to deliver laptops to children, but which is actually, as I know, not running probably right now. They're still in trial mode. Let me detail just a little bit the hardware part of it. They say that for urban schools, they have a server and 7 multi-terminal CPU. So this gives 22,000 labs with 15 seats each. This is a very interesting solution because it uses a single CPU to drive from 3 to usually 3 or 5, even 5 seats. It includes a hardware card that separates the monitor and input. And so to each connected user, it looks like an independent CPU, but it's actually the same central processing unit. But each one has its individual desktop. These are not like remote sessions or thin client stuff. And this is the lab for our schools in the rural area. And this is interesting because there are a lot of problems delivering equipment to the countryside. One of the main problems that they found is that the labs simply do not have enough power to run 7 machines with the monitors. So this solution actually uses LCD monitors because they use less power and also just one CPU. Otherwise, the electrical infrastructure of the schools would not be able to supply even the needs for a single lab. And also there's other stuff like this has no network, network infrastructure, like logins and central login of people. Because they do not have a way to handle this. It's a simplified interface. If everything goes wrong, they just re-image the system and it's ready for another run. They also are providing some machines for the administrative area, 1 to 3 seats, and they have some open source software for school management, and all the same solution, and same based on the same distribution. And lastly, they have some schools for people with special needs, and these actually have very large LCD or plasma monitors, which are necessary for people with visual disabilities and so on. And they are running a trial of these one computer per student programs. This year they were supposed to deliver 150,000 units, and they are not sure yet. I think they're not sure yet if they are going to run with the OLPC or Classmate or another solution. There are some trials running there. So that's basically it. So we were very interested in the project, and after Fizzly, we thought, so how can we help these guys? What I did, is that I set up a meeting with the guys in Brasilia and went there to see the solution and to see what they need to do, what they need from us, how can we help. And it was a very interesting story because I'll give you a very short demo of the solution. And it's really simple for you guys, but this is running Linux Educacional, which is based on Debian. It's a almost pure Debian distribution with some packages that include content and include these modifications to the user interface and additional bars for navigation. You see there are some modifications to the start menu and it was made to resemble Windows just a little bit more, like a menu inicial, which is the same as Windows in Brazil. And they just reorganized the menu here and added this quick navigation bar, which basically gives you access to KDE Edu applications and some applications from GNOME as well, like TuxMath and JCompris and TuxPaint, which they use for. They have some open office, which in Brazil is called BR Office, utility stuff, Amarok, CD-Burn. And what I find it interesting on this approach is that they also are thinking about delivering free content. And free content is delivered basically as videos that you can see here. The videos are available at the repository, the Debian repository that they set up. So they're not trying to actually do a distribution. They are just layering some content and some configuration on top of Debian, which I find smart, better than the old way of having to maintain a full distribution. But you can see some of the problems here. They are opening, at least for me, from a technical point, they are opening a browser here. And from the browser, you have some video encoded in Windows Media Format, which is playing via the mPlayer plugin. So they are just finding ways to use educational content that they have already developed, or the universities have already developed. And this content is sometimes not ideal for computers, but it's better than nothing, and it's open. They also have, like, I have some of these here offline because I'm not sure if they are going to work online right now. The HeVed. Let me open the browser here, it's better. This is a 3 or 4 year old initiative to develop content. And content was developed by several universities in Brazil and schools as well. And it was actually quite nice because you have a professor's teacher's guide for each content, and you have the content as well available. It's pre-installed in the machine, 60 gigabytes of content, but now here I'm getting some of it online. So you have here like Tangram, and you can try to do it and the stuff here. And as you can see here, this is in Adobe Flash Player 9. So again, not exactly free file formats, but the content is free. They also have some content that is available as literature. For example, poetry. And then you can open it, and it will open up in KPDF. Maybe not the best interface to read online or to visualize, but at least you have the content there. And basically that's it. We do not have a lot of time for the demo. These were the main points that I was going to cover. So this leads into the discussion. Let me return to the presentation of why did they choose GNU Linux with KDE 3? And basically they said that it's because it is a free solution in both meanings of the free world. Like it's gratis and it's also in freedom. It's community supported. They find it very important to have a community support solution. And it's easy to customize the look and feel. And they need to customize it so that it resembles Windows. And it's something that they find out that they can just not do with GNOME. That's the reason for choosing KDE. And one big reason for using KDE were the KDE applications, especially the ones in the Edu module. So this was actually what brought them to start using KDE, is finding the best way to run these applications, the games at first, and then the KDE Edu module. So I'll give a big thanks to the KDE Edu team, because these applications actually enabled the solution and this project to start gravitating towards using KDE. Then I was there to see what we can do to help. So what we can do to help the next steps of this stuff. And actually to listen to them to see what they need from us. And these are the key needs that they have right now. They want to have cross-platform content, cross-platform applications, a fully customizable interface. It needs to be fully translatable. Contributions to the translation are possible. It's going to be free and community supported, and adaptable to different form factors, from small screen to the one laptop initiative to the plasma monitors. And they need to do cross-platform content and applications because the federal government in Brazil does not actually control education. It just gives the guidelines, but states and municipalities are free to do their own stuff. So if they want to deliver Windows on their machines, they are free to do so. They run on these labs. They're just, if you deliver Windows, you are not longer supported by the government. But you are free to use your Windows, and some municipalities choose to install Windows and multi-terminal stuff and use it there. And they want to make sure that these people can continue to use the same content. And I find it important. And I looked at this key needs list, and I see that KDE4 delivers all of that already. So this is very important for us. And in summary, this validates that we are on the right track with this project, because I went to listen to them, and basically everything that they want, we are already kind of providing one way or another. And this is something important to realize for us. This is one thing I want to stress, that we are doing the right thing here, slowly and independently from funding or from anything that the government can give us. And this is something that is very important for, at least for me, to keep us motivated to work on this project. It's important to see that people are using these machines to create content, not just to consume them. And something that I like.